Back to begin hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We're here for two more hours. That's when Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock. With Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. You can join us at 656-9900. You'll hear from Tennessee Associate Head Coach, Assistant Basketball Coach Mike Schwartz in just a few minutes, what he had to say about Eve Pons coming back and how he can continue to help Tennessee defensively, but also on the offensive end. So that's coming up in a little more than 10 minutes here on the show. We'll catch you up on football news of the day as well.
Were you a Big Bang Theory fan? Did you watch that show?
Yeah, I did not make it all the way through, but okay. Yes.
Okay, towards the end, after Howard and Bernadette got married, Howard actually went into outer space. And during the break, after that face-off question, somebody sent me the Howard in outer space balancing a pin with the beard and said, "This is how I picture Josh in space." So I thought that was very appropriate.
How do you think I'd do up there?
Oh, I think you'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'd adapt pretty quickly.
Is your heart rate even good? I mean, do you get you do get excited. I know that you do have human feelings underneath the cyborg exterior. But like on a roller coaster, do you ever get nervous? Would you have an elevated heart rate at all during like launch?
I feel like that would be an outlier from typical Josh. Yeah, the old going to outer space part of it. But man, you never know. I will tell you, last week, here's a quick story that nobody frankly cares about. But the Minor family, super competitive, and we had a big kickball game on the beach last week, and in the final inning we were down 3 runs, bottom of the 7th, and I had an inside the park quote home run to score the first run, and I had a walk-off double, a kickoff you might say, to finish, and the juices were flowing on that one. So that was the inaugural beach kickball game among the Minor family, and we had a walk-off win.
Very cool. And you, yeah, so yeah, I can get
pretty riled up for
okay.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah, so it would be like taking on your in-laws, you going to outer space. Heart rates are the same.
Like pretty that. Much, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Cornhole on the beach or going to outer space. Can't tell the difference from Josh. 656-9900 again, if you would like to join us here on Sports 180. I will be pretty amped up if college football season plays out as everybody's planning. You know, if everything does work out with some bumps along the way, but start and finish works out, could actually be a lot of fun to see some staggered schedules. I know there's a lot of talk of, hey, 9 to 10 conference games, 10 games in the SEC, 10 games in the Big Ten. A lot of fans are going to say, you know, this is fun. I like seeing more conference games. What that means for the future, I don't know. I'm still very skeptical that they would continue on with that. But if things do work out, this fall can be a lot of fun for college football with more conference games that matter, just more games that matter. You know, I know a Tennessee-Georgia State game can happen, but that's not the norm. You go into an SEC game, even if you're a big favorite, you better expect to be to have a more competitive game than you would typically seeing Tennessee play Charlotte, Furman, Georgia State. No offense to those schools.
Yeah, dare to dream, too, about seeing some of these elite teams separate themselves amongst their conference. And if we do, in fact, get a college football playoff, it'd be the first time that you had seen those teams play out-of-conference opponents. That could be incredibly intriguing and just have so many eyeballs on those games. I just think if the college football season happens, there's going to be storylines each and every week that's going to engross us more in the sport that we already love.
So the Big Ten announced today, September 5th is when they will start things up. They've left a little wiggle room within those schedules, but it's 10 games, conference only in the Big Ten. And as we discussed with Austin Ward, and just about everybody has pointed out at this point, there's no one clear direction. And you can find differing opinions on the Big Ten. Is its plan better, or is the SEC Pac-12 plan better to start 3 weeks later? You can actually find differing opinions using the same reasoning for which one is better. So I kind of lean toward what the Big Ten is planning to do. I don't know if I'll be right. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'll just hope that both parties end up having things work out by the time they get things going. But everybody being ready to go September 5th, that doesn't sound all that realistic, considering you have some that are currently quarantined, meaning the football programs, yep, and others that are getting ready to practice.
Yeah, and I like when we were talking to Austin Ward, and I asked him, I said, is this going to devolve into a dog-eat-dog world? Like, everybody's just going to turn into I only care about me and my team at this point in time. Like, even conference breakdown, it's like, hey, if you can't play, get out of the way. Give us somebody else to play because we're ready. We're coming at you. Like, I really do think you're going to see the lack of uniformity break down even further, where it's like either put up or shut up. Like, we need to play some people, and if you can't play, give us somebody else. It's just like on to the next mentality.
Yeah, there's a survival mode that I think conferences and then teams could go into for sure.
Yeah, especially,
but that's why with the AAC announcement, it's eight conference games, and then let's see what we can do from a non-conference schedule. Let's see how many games that you can get, because as some schools or conferences announce we're not playing non-conference games, that immediately just wipes out games for other teams. UConn has its announcement today that it's not playing football in 2020.
Yeah. And that's worst case scenario. I mean, for an FBS team to go ahead and push the button, the eject button on this season, I think it's such a shame. I hate it for them, but because they are an independent in football, it just makes it incredibly tough to get those schedules aligned with everybody going to a conference-only schedule. I mean, Notre Dame had to give up a huge chunk of money, their NBC money, to be able to play an ACC schedule and guarantee those games. That means they were desperate and wanted to make sure they had people that marquee matchups that they can compete in.
Yeah, we asked the question a few weeks ago, remember, and we asked it online and people took it way too seriously. But what would you either be willing to give up or do to ensure that a football season takes place? What'd you say? You'd give up a big toe?
A toe, yeah. Mm-hmm, big toe. I can okay. do it. I can learn how to re-walk and run. I'm fully confident in myself.
Yeah, I don't have any doubts in you. You're a D1 athlete. You've got the ability. And Joel, this was before you you returned to us. So I'll ask you. My answer was that I'll run a full marathon. I'll do it within a year. So like this spring, I'll go run the full 26.2. I've done it once before. Why not do it again? Just might take me a little bit longer. What would you be willing to either give up or do to ensure a college football season happens this fall? And you can't say nothing.
Well, I've heard the question, would you be willing to have your team have a winless season for all the teams you cheer
for the greater good?
Have a winless season for an entire calendar year. So for me, the Vols in both football and basketball, the Preds, the Braves, the Titans, the Grizzlies, winless seasons for all of them for one season. If it meant college football happening, yeah, I'd give it up in a heartbeat. For the greater good, absolutely. Man. It'd be painful, but everybody. I would do it.
I think you could have just picked one team, but you took them all down to make sure that it happens. I appreciate the investment. Yeah, I had a question a week or two ago. If Tennessee were to go 6-6, should I still want the football season to happen? I was like, what are you talking about? Of course. 6-6.
Take it.
You've seen that plenty of times. What are you talking about?
And that's like two more games than they're planning on playing right now. How did they get to 6-6?
Well, it was before the SEC announcement. Okay. So it might be 5. Might have to drop it to 5-5 in this case.
6-6 isn't even like one of the top 5 most painful things that Tennessee fans had to endure in the past decade.
Yeah, it's like, well, that might happen anyway. So, you know, if you don't want it to. But, for sure, I think it's better to see the team go 500 than to see all the football wiped out. The football season being wiped out, I don't think helps. Well, I don't think it helps anyone, but
no.
Financially, it definitely does not. Good luck with those recruiting budgets that you need.
Yeah, the recruiting budgets, and good luck if you make a living talking about sports happening, especially the number one in college football town. So, yeah, I mean, no. You would even sacrifice maybe a losing season for your team just to have the greater good. Oh, wait, no, you wouldn't. Nobody's doing that. At least not publicly.
Yeah, so... All right, so Joel would have all of his teams go 0-4 to make sure the season happens. I'll run a marathon. Heather's cutting off a big toe. Yeah. And my favorite response, nothing, I'm a paying customer. All right, thanks. Thanks for playing the game.
I was going to bring that up earlier. That is still the one comment that I've read, and I was like, you completely, maybe it was a bad day. Maybe they were just having a bad day, didn't understand the question. Nothing. I'm a paid customer.
College football's in jeopardy. We're all having a bad day.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. You don't get the bad day disclaimer at this point. Everybody's had a bad day between now and going back to mid-March. Tennessee had a really good day on Monday when Eve Pons announced that he is returning for his senior year. Yesterday, we talked to Mike Schwartz about it. Tennessee's assistant basketball coach talks about the impact of Eve Pons returning. Coming up next on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. The Pac-12 had a letter over the weekend with the Players Tribune. They're united, and they have a few demands, something similar from the Big Ten coming out. We'll tell you about that here in about 15 minutes on Sports 180. Joel Silverberg will have a midday sports minute for you at the end of the segment as well, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on in the sports world as games continue on today as well. 656-9900 if you would like to join us. Yesterday, a lot of our attention was on the return of Eve Pons, announcing that he's coming back to Tennessee for his senior season. It's a team that is deep, it's talented, it's really athletic. That was a word that Mike Schwartz used a lot while he was on the show with us yesterday, Tennessee's associate head coach. Assistant coach on the staff, talking about all that Tennessee has to offer, and you're not going to find a more athletic player probably in the country than Eve Pons, back for his senior season. So the first question to Tennessee's assistant, Mike Schwartz, was how can he impact Tennessee's basketball team coming back? Here's what Mike Schwartz said.
I mean, I think no different than last year. It starts on the defensive end, but he's a lot more than just a defensive player. I mean, his defensive versatility and athleticism allows us to do so many things on that side of the ball because of his ability to guard one through the five and do so many different things. But really, if you look at what he did last year from an offensive standpoint, it was a breakout year. And we really feel like that was maybe just the beginning for him, that he's got a lot of areas that he can continue to improve, a lot of areas that he will be even more effective on the offensive side of the ball this year. Through his first 2 years, he had not played in the post at all. Last year, he did, and he became a real go-to player for us down there, getting the ball down there along with, obviously, John. And he shot the ball well from the perimeter, but he would be the first to say, if he was on this call right now, that he wants to continue to improve his ball handling, his ability to drive the ball, his ability to create his own shot. And he knows he needs to be even a more consistent three-point shooter, and he's worked really diligently this offseason in all those areas.
Coach Schwartz, I'm wondering, this process was so unorthodox that Eve had to go through. Did that create hesitation for him making his decision and trying to process just whatever information he had available?
Yeah, Heather, I think that's a great point. And I think all players across the country went through that, honestly. I think this is such a different process. The timing was so unorthodox. The uncertainty of the professional league, the NBA, the uncertainty of what college athletics holds moving forward. I think all those things make it very difficult. And in normal circumstances, an underclassman that enters the draft in April, I believe the deadline to enter was something like April 9th, and wants to test the water, so to speak, they really have 5 or 6 weeks to go through that process. They have the combine. They have workouts. There's a lot crammed into a 5 or 6 week period. This was totally different. This was looking at the beginning of April all the way through the beginning of August. So it made it extremely difficult. And truth be known about it, I'm not sure there's still a lot of answers. I still think the NBA still has a lot up in the air exactly what next season looks like. As we all know on this call, that we know college athletics is still trying to maneuver and navigate everything going on. So, yeah, I think that's a great point. And I really believe that's why so many people took it down to the end. And that's the only reason it went so deep for Eve, and I think a lot of the great players across the country, because they're trying to figure it out, and you feel for them because this is not a normal off season making that decision.
So there was a lot to consider. It was not an easy choice, I'm sure, for Eve or a number of players that decided to either return to college or to stay in the draft and get ready for next year, the next NBA season. But for Tennessee, I think it's a big win. And for Pons, I don't know that he could have made a bad choice. If he decided to go pro, I don't know if he's drafted or not, but he would have been making money next year, and he would have had a long pro career ahead of him. To come back to Tennessee, he gets to continue in college. He gets to allow another year for his draft stock to improve and for his game to improve. So, yeah, sometimes I think we look at it like one choice is right and one choice is wrong, and that's not necessarily the case. Pons decided to come back to Tennessee, and I think that can work out very well for him, and for sure it helps Tennessee. For Tennessee, the right choice for them is for him to come back because they're a much better team with him. And I know fans, coaches, and his teammates are excited to have Pons back.
Yeah, he absolutely ups the ceiling, and that's something that we talked about yesterday. And, you know, whenever you're making a life-changing decision like this, which it would be because you would be, you know, advancing into your career, and that's like the first real step of adulthood after college, getting that first real job, it would be a life-changing decision. There were pros and cons. I think some of the pros for Eve himself to come back to the University of Tennessee is elite-level coaching, an area, an opportunity to expand the weaknesses of your game, and then the opportunity to also compete for a championship. And I do still think that means a lot to players. It's not the end-all, be-all, but I do think that there is something special about winning, obviously, in college sports, and then going on and hopefully making a lot of money in the pros.
So you have Yves Pons back at Tennessee, and also in that interview you can check out online on the WNML app. Tennessee is just, it's going to be the most athletic team that Rick Barnes will have had, and the number of different options I think they're going to have within the lineup will be great. And so it's a team mixed of experience, talent, length, athleticism, and big expectations too.
Yeah.
But as Mike Schwartz said during the interview, you look for that. They want that. Their expectations will be as high or higher than anybody on the outside, talk radio hosts, fans, whoever will have.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want surrounding the program, because then they know that there's an investment by the fan base into the program, and they know what they're working with here. Also, shouts to the Vol basketball program for putting out an awesome tweet today with Yves Pons. I mean, if you have forgotten that this guy is just an absolute, like, specimen of a human being, go and watch his awesome video on Twitter. It's on Instagram. He's blocking everything from plastic bottles going into the trash can, putting them in the recycle bin. He's playing with kids' blocks. He's just blocking everybody. Block Josiah James on Instagram. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, they did that video during the season, and it's really funny. I mean, he was about to set a record, I guess, and then the season's cut short. I think he would have gotten one in the Alabama game. But yeah, they're just behind the scenes. We talk about the program, coaching, and players now. They're elite, I would say, nationally with the state of the program. But from a marketing and social media standpoint, they've been that way for a little while. So behind the scenes, really good. Santiago Vescovi is back, as they had that last night. Should have asked Mike Schwartz about that. Kind of missed on the show yesterday. But Santiago Vescovi rejoining the team, and good for him to be back, as everybody else. Uros, I guess, returned a few weeks ago. But, of course, having to come from out of the country made things more challenging for Vescovi and for Plavsic at the time to get back.
Yeah, so Vescovi, we actually weren't even sure when he was coming back. I remember us having that conversation before your last week of vacation, like, hey, do you know any timeline of when Vescovi's coming? And we didn't know what some of the travel restrictions were for different places in South America. So glad that he is back and rocking the platinum blonde locks. I mean, wow, he's looking like a surfer. I love it. Good look.
Yeah, you think it looks good?
Yeah, I think it looks good. I think he should keep it up.
I'm down with it. It's cool. Yeah, he can probably pull it off a little bit better than I could.
Yes, he could. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was slight hesitation, so I appreciate that. And, you know, Vescovi's a guy that, let's not forget him in this conversation. And he's a player that, remember, we thought would probably be a part of this class coming in. And if that were the case, he'd still be helping Tennessee. But he had an adjustment to make, and he made it, I think, pretty quickly. And he was actually ahead of what anybody really expected him to be when he showed up. Remember, when he showed up, or when he was about to, Rick Barnes thought was, yeah, he probably redshirts. And instead, LSU game arrives and he's starting. And yeah, was turning the ball over, made some mistakes, but his playmaking ability was there. And yeah, he's a smart player. He's really talented with the basketball. And I think as the season went along, he made the adjustments that he needed to. Now he will have had an offseason to train and prepare and to look back on last year. And he'll be a better player too. So it's a backcourt that just, it's going to be really good, I think, with the players coming in and the talented players. I mean, you just have a bunch of pros in the backcourt, frankly.
I remember, I think it was Coach Schwartz that had joined us like 2 days before the SEC schedule had tipped off, and neither of us asked him about Santiago Vescovi having just arrived on campus like a few days before, and we were at the LSU game, and they start doing the starting lineup, and I look at Glenn, and I was like, did they just say Santiago Vescovi? I was like, what in the world? And so the fact that we hadn't even asked about him, and then boom, he was in the starting lineup. I mean, that was really a shocking moment. And to see his play, of course, it had its flaws and there was a bit of a learning curve. But man, there were so many positives of why Rick Barnes trusted him pretty much immediately. So much hustle, too, in that guy. He plays with a lot of heart.
Yeah, so Tennessee preseason top 10, top 15 team for this upcoming year, and the NCAA still has a decision to make on what the season will look like. Right now the plan is for November 10th to be the start of college basketball and for everything to play out. They still have several weeks to make that decision with college hoops. College football first. If college football plays out, you can probably expect that basketball will as scheduled as well.
Yeah, you hope so. And the fact that, you know, basketball is it's a more controllable number. I mean, you know, just even if football gets going and has to push the brakes on the season, I would not count out basketball on an alternate timeline at this point in time just because of the sheer number. It's all about volume, and the fewer people you have, the fewer exposure you have.
Yeah, there's even been proposed bubble talk for college basketball, like some short window bubble, which, yeah, I don't really see that happening, but it's just, you're right, it's more manageable. We've seen the basketball tournament work out. The NBA has been just fine with its bubble. Bubble life is where it's at, but basketball, pretty much everything's more manageable than football.
I would hate it for all those Kentucky players that would have to move out of the Wildcat Lodge 2.0 and into like a five-star hotel, because you know that's got to be like a downgrade.
We'll come back here on Sports 180. Big Ten players now united. We'll explain coming up. 90 minutes to go before Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock. Joel Silverberg catches you up on the sports news of the day right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app. You can find us online, 991thesportsanimal.com. And Heather, coming out of the weekend, we had the letter from the players of the Pac-12 at theplayerstribune.com. Now you have players of the Big Ten who have put something out with hashtag Big Ten United. On Monday, we talked about, you know, probably be players around the country who come with another one of these from a different conference, and yep. The Big Ten is the conference. They have the Big Ten Unity Proposal, and part of it is protecting the well-being of all athletes. They have a request with oversight and transparency, prevention and safety protocols, testing, contact tracing, and related procedures are part of it, player assurances, and hazard-related economic support, as it's a pretty long list to run through at the Players' Tribune. Yeah. Again, this is from players of the Big Ten. What stood out to you when you looked at it?
Well, the funniest part of it is under the hazard-related economic support. I was just scrolling over that through the break. Reimbursement for stipends that were reduced because they weren't on campus this summer. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, man, they want that money. They need some cash. Start of the semester has been delayed, so everybody needs their stipend check. But, I mean, it's, I think, pretty much par for the course. They're asking for COVID protections. I think some of them are unrealistic, like the automatic medical red shirt for any player who misses any competitions due to a positive test or mandatory quarantine due to contact tracing. It's like, if you miss one game because you were positive, or two games, like, you're not getting a medical red shirt. That's just not going to happen. I think maybe if there is a situation where you miss a couple of games, 3, 4, 5, what kind of, you know, would you still be in that medical red shirt ability? Maybe so. So maybe that could be adjusted on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, they're wanting to get rid of the liability waivers that some of the schools had sent out, which is normal. And then one thing that I thought was interesting, football, or at least these players, want to be tested 3 times per week. I have not seen that on any level except for the NFL. And if you're talking about one team, say for 14 weeks, beginning of fall camp through the end of a 10-game season, you're talking about $378,000 roughly just for football, one team in one conference for COVID-19 testing. And that's only testing 100 guys, maybe not your full walk-on squad.
Yeah, testing twice per week with an FDA-approved test with less than 1% false negatives. Additionally, testing on the day of competition or within 24 hours of competition for each team that can be quarantined with an FDA-approved test with less than 5% false negatives with results delivered at least 2 hours before competition. So they want to see an increase in testing. The liability waiver, I mean, that seeing that taken away, that makes some sense. I'll tell you, if you're just a regular student, I laugh out loud the idea of signing a waiver when I'm paying you tens of thousands of dollars to take some of your classes online. You can get the heck out of there on that one. So if I'm a player, I wouldn't be signing those waivers either. They also asked for whistleblower protections for athletics personnel and college athletes reporting a suspected violation. This is getting more talk, isn't it? As the NCAA is suggesting a phone number and email for players to be able to report, or I guess staff members to be able to report if there's some wrongdoing going on behind the scenes, as you had some at least reported issues at Colorado State yesterday. So the Big Ten players asking for whistleblower protections if they see some teammates that are not doing what they are supposed to behind the scenes.
Yeah, and they should. I mean, I have completely reversed course on the snitch line, on the text, email, whatever it is. Like, if you really do feel like somebody is not taking this serious and you're coming into close proximity with them every single day, and they're not following the protocols, yeah, I would definitely tell on them as well. So I think that that should be handled in the way that the NBA has handled it. So I'm very much in favor of that. I think you'll see that happen. And then as far as, like, the coaches who are maybe going to push the boundaries on this, like, just ask yourself, look in the mirror and say, why? This is such an unorthodox year. There could be some legitimate high stakes for some people that don't even know they might have a pre-existing medical condition. I mean, don't forget, now this doesn't apply to COVID, but remember, like, Warren Burrell didn't know he had a spinal condition until he was at the University of Tennessee. Think about all the football that he had.
Baylen Buchanan.
Yes, Baylen Buchanan. I mean, think about all the football that he had played before he found out that diagnosis. Well, the same is true for all kinds of other underlying conditions that people can have. So, you know, I just think, like, if you're pressuring somebody, if they have a temperature and you're not going to let them out of practice or something one day, you just really need to check your priorities this year.
I would agree with that. What is the next conference to come together with one of these letters or demands, requests, proposals? I'm going to say the SEC.
Yeah, probably. I mean, everybody's going to end up doing it. I just wonder who's writing this for them. Like, who is actually, what law firm has contacted these players to get everybody on board, and they're just, like, pinning? I mean, it's very well done. You know, shout out to whoever put it together. It's very well thought out. You know, I didn't know that there were FDA-approved tests that have a 1% false negative rate versus a 5%. So, you know, kudos to the people that are in the know. I feel like I have researched everything about COVID-19 very thoroughly this whole time. Didn't even know that existed. So whoever's crafting these statements, very well educated.
Yeah, I'm going to get out of my area of expertise pretty quickly, which I know some are thinking there is no area of expertise for you, Josh. But certainly if I try to start breaking down
NBA.
The different 90s NBA, I feel pretty good in some of those conversations. But there's a lot that I've read. It kind of runs together, so I'm not sure of how everything works with the testing. But wanting more testing, that to me is not a surprise and is not an unreasonable request.
Also, if you really feel like there's nefarious actions going on behind closed doors where, like, if you legitimately in your heart, you look at your coaches who you're supposed to have a pretty decent relationship with. I'm not going to say a great relationship, but a decent relationship. And you don't trust them, opt out. Just opt out. Like, if you really just don't trust the process, then what are we doing quibbling over here? I don't know. I feel like, now all we have to really go on is what, like, the University of Tennessee is doing, but man, they've shown a lot of transparency and they've been pretty forthcoming with what they've been doing to try and mitigate COVID-19 outbreaks on campus.
Yeah, right. That shows part of the complicated process of this, though, because that can't be an easy situation to be in. If you're an 18, 19, 20-year-old, you have a scholarship, if you have trust issues, how to handle that? I mean, saying just opt out is probably easier said than done. One, they probably, what if you don't want to? What if you want to play? Yeah. But you want to play under the right circumstances. Just saying, well, opt out. I mean, do you know that you're going to have a spot on the team next year? No, you don't know that. They can tell you that. Depends on what level player you are. So that's easier said than done to just tell them. And you're at that point in your life. You're again, let's just average it out. You're a 20-year-old. If you feel pressured or you feel like a coach is trying to or a staff member is trying to put you in a position you're not comfortable with, how to handle that is not easy. Like, who do you go to on campus that you really trust? Do you have a family member you can go to? Everybody's situation is different. So
that's good point.
The amount of people that are involved in this makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And you bring up some really good points. And not everybody has, like, the family structure to rely on, you know, for good sound advice and things like that. So you're right to point out those issues. I just feel like some of this, though, is so over the top. And it's like, you know, if you're wanting all this, I just don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, again, with the Pac-12 list of demands that they had, I'd be surprised if more than a handful actually think that they're obtainable. At least, certainly not all of them. But hoping to maybe get a few items or get something out of it. When you have a list of 20 demands, whatever, expecting all of them to work out, any reasonable, well-thinking person is going to say, yeah, it's probably not happening. But part of what I asked the other day is, okay, how's everything else gone when we're still having the name, image, likeness conversation.
You're right. I mean,
how's that gone over the last decade? It's taken some time, right? So if you want something, probably have to be pretty loud about it right now.
You're right about that, because there are still people, and I will keep throwing him under the bus, like Bubba Cunningham, that is just like, no, we can't pay these players. Like, dude, if you're stuck in that mentality and that way of thinking, you got to get somebody in that's hip to the times. One other interesting thing from the list of, not demands, but what the Big Ten players want to see happen, sufficient penalties for non-compliance. And I'm wondering if that would only apply to the schools not maybe enforcing protocols or following protocols. Would that also relate to the players not abiding by said protocols, i.e. attending parties this upcoming semester?
Yeah, I mean, it does appear that at least those that are a part of this are very serious about making sure that the others are doing things the right way. Because it literally takes one to cause a big time problem.
Especially the asymptomatic people. I mean, you could be around, if you're walking around and you're fine, you know, you feel fine, there's no telling how many people you could spread that to, because you would have no symptoms and you probably wouldn't be following everything or at least by the letter. You wouldn't be as diligent.
2020, here we are.
So weird. God, this year is so weird.
Yeah, and by the way, some of these players in the conference set to begin practice here in the next couple of days.
Do you
Big Ten with its schedule and its allowance for camp to open up.
Everybody has said after this, like, there isn't going to be a return to what life was like pre-COVID-19. Do you buy that? Do you buy the, like, stores investing in hand sanitizer from here on out, like, to the end of time? Like, you walk in a store and there's a thing of hand sanitizer and you sanitize your hands kind of like you're on a cruise ship. Like, I mean, are there aspects of our society that will truly never return to what life was like before this?
Oh, I'm very confident that we will see some changes that last forever because of this, yeah.
Okay. Part of me thinks that you're probably right. Like, that's the smart side of me is going with that. And then the other side of me is like, people get lazy. And following some of all these, like, protocols, you know, are you washing your hands that much? Do you kind of relax those standards? I don't know.
Everybody's going to, yeah. Because everybody hasn't adjusted now. I mean, some people haven't made one single adjustment in the last 5 months. So I'm not saying everybody, but in terms of just big picture, are we going to see businesses operating in different ways in terms of what you mentioned, like sanitization, stuff like that, or offices, how many people they have in an office, how spaced out it is? Those changes have already taken place on a permanent basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, things are going to change. We're not going to have this the way things are forever. But pre-COVID and post-COVID, yeah, that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it'll be interesting to see what sticks after all this, and if there is a vaccine or whatever happens to get us through this era. And also what school is going to look like. And this comes on the heels of all the Knox County parents freaking out after Knox County delayed school yesterday by another week. So, I mean, it's getting a little anxious. Anxiety is building. This has been the longest spring break ever, Josh Ward. Longest spring break ever.
Onward and upward we are in 2020. We come back here on Sports 180, 656 9900 to join us. What a comeback, an all-time comeback that we saw in the NBA yesterday. We'll tell you about that with the pop-up fact. Catch you up on all the college football news of the day. There is a long list. We'll catch you up here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday afternoon here until 3 o'clock. That's when Sports Talk will take over. Sports going on during the day. I've not found anybody, Heather, that is against this. Joel, I think you'll back us up as well. Sports during the day. Let's make this a, maybe not 365 days a year, although I'd sign up for it, but more sports during the day makes everybody happier.
I love the fact that it's happening. I understand that in normal circumstances, fewer fans not being able to attend could be a problem. But I'm all about it, especially with the NHL. This has been a ton of fun. It's almost a little like the first day of the NCAA tournament. We all have a blast just watching basketball all day when that comes around. But yeah, with playoffs happening, playoff and postseason events, I'm all about sports happening at 12.
And I don't think it has to be like every day. I think if say you get down to the last 8-10 games in the NBA for each team, and they want to put a game on at noon every other day or every couple of days, you know, in future years of teams that are trying to make a playoff push and then also have the other games in prime time. I think that is very doable. And then you're not overloading or missing out on a big chunk of your audience.
Yeah, and depending on the league, I don't know how things would work out with you have the regional sports networks versus national, but perhaps you could find some ways to make up a little more revenue with TV opportunities for them to have games to broadcast during the day if you're thinking about less fans being able to attend. I know less people can watch at 2 in the afternoon versus in prime time. I'm aware of that. Part of this is just me being selfish during the middle of the day, being able to turn on the TV and watch sports. I'm enjoying it, and I'd like to see more of it.
It's definitely been nice, and one thing that I also like, NBA TV, whatever the late game is on NBA TV, they actually replay it like while we're putting our show together. So they start it around 10. And that's fantastic because you know me, I can't stay up till 11 o'clock watching the end of those games. So I actually do get to see the third and fourth quarters before we go on the air. So I'm all for the replay action too.
Yeah, I did get to catch a little extra Rockets Blazers last night because little Max was, he was up and at him late in the night. So that at least offered up a little basketball for me.
Yeah, I could have watched Bundesliga this morning because I was up at 4:15. So yeah,
there you go.
Is there a full moon going on or something? I know there was a pretty close to a full moon the other night, if not totally full. So something's up in the atmosphere, and it's throwing our kids off their sleep schedule. I do not approve of that.
Well, there are rumors they've got some kind of secret Snapchat line that's going, and they've all joined forces. Hashtag we are united to keep our parents up. 656-9900 is the phone number for you to join us. Let's hit today's pop-up fact.
It's time for today's Sports 180 pop-up fact of the day. A quick look at a did-you-know factoid.
Heather, how about this? The Nets yesterday, with nobody you've ever heard of playing for them against the one seed Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference, they upset the Bucks yesterday. It was the biggest underdog spread, 19 points, for the biggest underdog to win in the NBA since 1993. You're going back a ways. You're going back 27 years. The last time you saw that big of an upset in the NBA is the Brooklyn Nets with their best players not even there in the bubble. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Spencer Dinwiddie, and then others, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, sitting out the game as well. And the other players stepped up and beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, how about that? So do you, I mean, that's on the Bucks, right? Not taking that game seriously. I know that Giannis,
and the Nets players being really fired up to go out and play in a nothing-to-lose game.
Yeah, nothing-to-lose game. Giannis didn't play much after halftime, right? He was on the bench a lot, so I think the Bucks just, when they saw the writing on the wall and the score was like tied in the second quarter, midway through, they were like, okay, well, maybe the Nets are just going to get this one. We might concede in the second half.
Yeah, and actually moved the Nets up to 7th in the East, so they're a half game in front of the Orlando Magic now. Not that playing the Raptors in the first round would be a lot of fun. I think the Raptors are really good. But that did move the Magic back a half game behind the Nets. The Nets play tonight against the Boston Celtics. The Magic actually play the Toronto Raptors tonight. So we'll see how things play out there. Let's be real. Neither team is going to advance to the second round, so does that matter that much? No, but it's notable in terms of where the standings are.
I'd rather be the 8th seed. Get beat by the best. Get beat by Giannis, who's going to be named the MVP this year. Don't get put out by the Raptors, who everybody was counting out
after the defending
Kawhi
champs.
Left. I know, but if Kawhi left, a big piece of that puzzle is gone. But no, I love and I like the Raptors, and they definitely deserve more respect than what they've gotten as far as like title contention goes, because nobody
yeah,
has
good.
Them. Like in the top three spots for sure. But I'd rather get put out by Giannis. Give me the 8th seed.
Joel, coming up at 2:30, the Memphis Grizzlies will be in action against the Utah Jazz. It has not gone well for Memphis in the bubble. They are 0-3, right? They have not won. And then news came out yesterday that Jaren Jackson is lost for the rest of the season. They already lost Justice Winslow before play resumes. So the Grizzlies still a game and a half in front of the Blazers and two games in front of the Spurs. But I don't like the Grizzlies' chances here moving forward.
I don't either. It was one thing to have a couple of really close losses to start off. You had the 10-point loss to the Pelicans the other night. Jackson was hurt that night. And then the team announced yesterday that he had torn his meniscus in his knee. So and not only that, but Ja Morant has not been playing as well as he was during the regular season before all this started. So I think you've really got to find a way to get Morant going quickly, but now you're going to need contributions from elsewhere on the floor. But I don't like their chances either. You're 0-3 since starting play in the bubble, and now your playoff lead for that number 8 seed is getting smaller and smaller with each passing day.
Yeah, future still looks bright, but in terms of closing out this season, it's going to be tough. And the Blazers look good. I mean, if this team had been healthy all season, they got a couple of big men back. This is a team that is easily in the playoffs right now. I think they'd be in that 3-4-5 range probably if they had been healthy all year.
Colin Cowherd asking an interesting question: who do you want in a big game moment? Do you want the Blazers Dame time or Russ Westbrook?
Oh, Dame time. Yeah, Damian Lillard.
I thought that was an interesting question. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you go that route?
Probably. Although Russ did hit some amazing shots and he was clutch at the free throw line the other night when they were playing the Bucks. So they, you know, he was big time also in the Mavs game, but against the Bucks, he was really holding it down from the free throw line.
Yeah. Joel, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, choose one.
I will take Dame time.
Yeah. He is a baller. He's in the conversation. The guard position is interesting because of on the ball, off the ball. But Lillard, with the ball in his hands, playmaking ability, and when he gets hot, the ability to shoot from anywhere. He can play with just about anybody. He joins that conversation of Harden and Steph Curry. So the Blazers right now a game and a half back from the Memphis Grizzlies after last night the Blazers beat the Houston Rockets. We have one more hour to go of Sports 180. We'll keep you up to date on sports this afternoon with the NBA tipping off at 2:30. The Grizzlies really in a tough spot going up against the Utah Jazz. You have Major League Baseball continuing on, NHL, and we'll continue the conversation of what college football is trying to do to play a season this fall. That's coming up in the next hour, 656-9900 for you to join us. A few NFL notes and Braden Gall from Athlon Sports. The Cover 2 podcast will stop by coming up at 2:30. We are here for one more hour. Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock with Joel Silverberg and Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.